Blog Talk Radio. The recording has started.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you, people of God. God bless you tonight. God bless you. God bless you. Each and every one of you on tonight, God bless you. We come on tonight giving God thanks. We come giving him praise for another day, another hour that he has kept us, people of God. And we are grateful. We're grateful today. We're grateful for all that the Lord has done, all that the Lord is doing. We are indeed grateful. Amen. Are you grateful tonight? Are you grateful tonight, people of God? Are you grateful? Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful tonight. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here, as always. People of God, I'm excited for the Lord's keeping power. I'm excited tonight, people of God, because truly the Lord has done us well. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God on today for a right now mind. Amen. Glory to God. My mind is not in the future. My mind is not in the past. But my mind is right here, right now. I'm having a mindful moment. And we bless God on tonight. We bless him. We thank him for all that he's done. Yes, truly God has done us well, and we're so grateful for that on today. Amen, Jesus. I tell you, people of God, if we had 10,000 tongues, it really wouldn't be enough to give God thanks and to give God praise. While you're coming in, we want to ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people to come on in and be with you on tonight. Go ahead and invite. Invite a couple of people to come. People of God, listen, invite. Listen, if we don't invite them, they may never come. Amen. But we want to do our part. We want to do our part, and we want to invite on tonight. We are indeed live. We're live on tonight. And we're grateful for what the Lord will say. As you know, this is our teaching night with none other than Minister Craig Cannon. And we're so grateful to have him. We're thankful for his long-standing commitment to be with us on Friday nights. And I tell you, God has truly been blessing. The Lord is truly doing us well. So we give God thanks and we give God praise. Amen. We bless him on tonight, this Sabbath, people of God. We are going into the Sabbath hour, amen, into the Sabbath of the Lord. And as we know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And we know that Jesus Christ didn't do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Yes, he did. So we give God thanks and we give God praise in those things, people of God, that were burdensome, that the children of Israel, they could not do, people of God, because there was no restrainer. They did not have the Holy Ghost. They did not have the indwelling. And people of God, and it's because of that that they transgressed. They transgressed the law. But we give God thanks and we give God praise. Yes, sir. We give him thanks. We give him praise, people of God, because, listen, what the law could not do in that it was weak, according to the scripture, he came, he gave his only begotten son, people of God, that we might live. He became our paraclete. He became our help. And so we're so grateful for that on tonight, people of God. Listen, listen, people of God, we couldn't do it of our own. No matter how hard we try, we cannot keep ourselves, but we need the Holy Ghost. And we thank God for the precious Holy Ghost. We thank God for the precious Holy Ghost that comes to help us and to lead us and guide us, as the scripture declares, unto all righteousness. So we thank the Lord on tonight. We bless the Lord on tonight. Amen. We thank God for you, people of God. We thank God for your coming. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your coming. Thank you for coming to be with us. We are so grateful for you. Hugs and kisses. For you that are all over the world, hugs and kisses. We're grateful that you've come to be with us. We are so grateful, amen, that you have come to be with us people of God. Amen. Whatever country you're listening from, whatever country you're listening from, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Whatever town you're in, whatever parish you're in, glory to God, wherever you're picking up this PNN over these airways, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're so grateful that you're here with us. Amen. While you're coming in, we always want to let you know that this is a recorded line. It's a recorded line, people of God. And listen, you can get a copy of the broadcast. It is absolutely free. It is absolutely free. You can get your copy, and we invite you to get your copy. Amen. We'll give you two numbers at the end of the broadcast whereby you can text, and we will get that information or to you. Amen. People of God, we're just so grateful. You can also listen by way of Facebook. People of God, our Prayer News Network PNN page, we do post our broadcast there as well, people of God, and you can go there. Now, listen, if you don't have Facebook, you can always go to and Google Prayer News Network. Google Prayer News Network, amen. You can plug into our podcast, which we have podcasts every night as well. So we're so grateful tonight. We're so grateful for our leaders, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're grateful, grateful, grateful. We're grateful tonight, people of God, amen. I thank God for our founding father, amen, for my leaders, the late Apostle Dr. S.C. James. Thanking God for him, people of God. Thanking God on tonight for our senior apostle, none other than people of God, Samuel Prophet and Prophet Samuel Huggins James. Thanking him on tonight, people of God. Thanking God on tonight for Bishop K.A. Tina. He's our presiding bishop. Amen. So we bless God. We thank God. Amen. We bless him. We thank him for all that he's done, all that he's doing. Amen. We bless the Lord on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Are you happy tonight, people of God? Do you have joy way down on the inside? Yes. Do you have it? Do you have it? Do you have it? Glory be to God. Well, we thank God on tonight, amen, for our PNN advisors, people of God. We thank God, and we do have a anniversary celebration coming up on July the 8th, and people of God, we want to invite you to come, invite you to come. Go out to our Prayer News Network page. Go out there, take a look at it. People of God, go out there, look and see. We want you to come and be a part of the anniversary celebration. Amen. Glory be to God. So we bless God. We thank God tonight again for each and every one of you, people of God, thanking him. Listen, thanking God for our prayer warrior, thanking God for our scripture reader on tonight. We're just so very, very grateful for everyone that the Lord has called to this work and that is a part of it. Extend their hand, extend their heart, extend their prayers. People of God, extend their time to come, and that includes you. We're grateful to the Lord for you on tonight. Amen. So we're grateful, grateful, grateful. Listen, I'm saying grateful, 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 and I'm saying it over and over and over because we mean it, mean it, mean it. Listen, people of God, we're going to go ahead and get ready to go into our broadcast on tonight. Go ahead and get your pen, your paper. People of God, get ready. Let us get ready to hear what the Lord will say unto us on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. As stated, people of God, our speaker tonight is, amen, none other than Minister Craig Cannon, people of God, Applied Word Ministries there, amen. He's the founder of Applied Word Ministries there in Atlanta, Georgia. We're so grateful that he has extended himself again, as I said, for a long-standing commitment, for as long as the Lord will say, to be with us on every Friday night. And we're so grateful. Hallelujah. We're so grateful for that. Amen. Thanking God for the commitment and the dedication. And people of God, tonight we're going to sanctify the line. We are going to sanctify the line, people of God, and we're going to ask our own missionary, Dorothy Fan, if she would come and sanctify the line for us. people of God, and we want you to get your heart, your mind, get your spirit ready on tonight to hear what the Lord will say. And then right after her, we're going to have, people of God, our scripture reader, none other than Sister Mary Hollins. She's going to come with our scripture reading. And then immediately after her, people of God, get ready, position yourself, get ready to hear the speaker, God's chosen one for this hour, none other than Minister Craig Cannon. God bless you. God bless you, missionary fan. You have the platform.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory
Thank
to
you,
your
Jesus.
Name, Lord. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank
Glory
you, Master.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father,
Thank
in the
you,
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord God. Giving you the praise, the glory, giving you the honor, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you tonight to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your love towards us tonight, Lord God. We give you the honor, Lord God. We give you the praise, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord God, for allowing us to come back tonight, Lord God. On this line, Lord God, just to meet you here, Lord God, just to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you are so due. We come before you tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon this line tonight, Lord God. Look upon each and every one of us tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord God, tonight, asking you, Lord God, to have your way, that your will be done. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon us and forgive us, Lord God, for all our sins, Lord God, for all iniquity, Lord God, for all transgressions, Lord God, for anything, Lord God, we have may have said or done today, Lord God, that just wasn't pleasing to you, Lord God. Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to forgive us for every thought, Lord God, that wasn't pure, every thought, Lord God, that wasn't like yours. In the name of Jesus, we come tonight with a repentant heart, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon us, Lord God, each and every one of us, name by name, Lord God, every city, every country, Lord God, every state, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look on every house that's represented tonight. In the name of Jesus, we come tonight, Lord God, asking you to move by your spirit and by your power, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to touch us tonight, Lord God. Give us ears to hear, Lord God, what the Spirit is saying unto us tonight. Give us spiritual ears, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us in the name of Jesus. We ask you to look upon us, Lord God, and open up our ears, Lord God, open up our minds, Lord God, that we may receive what you have prepared for us tonight. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, move. Lord God, heal, deliver, set free. In the name of Jesus, save, Lord God, on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, save, Lord God, fill with the Holy Ghost, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, heal the sick, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, move tonight. Let your choice anointing, Lord God, come tonight on this line in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, just to have thine own way in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, if you, Lord God, see anything, Lord God, that's in us that need to be corrected, Lord God, we ask you to do that on tonight through your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We ask you tonight, Lord God, to save that boy, Lord God, that out there, Lord God, that's on drugs, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that young man, Lord God, that's out there, Lord God, thinking that guns, Lord God, and drugs and alcohol is the way out, that young girl, Lord God, that's looking for love in all the wrong places, Lord God, we're asking you tonight, if there be any on the line tonight, Lord God, that's looking for hope, Lord God, looking for answers, Lord God, we're asking you this night, Lord God, to touch them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, and make that change in their life, Lord God, that they are looking for. in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for we realize and know that you are the way, Lord God, the truth and the light, Lord God. We asking you this day to move, Lord God, this night in the name of Jesus. Move for the man of God tonight, Lord God. Bless him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Have your way, Lord God. Help us to make the word easy to come tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, move on, Mr. Bradley. Touch it right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen her right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we will be so careful, Lord God, to give your name the praise. We'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you right now. We magnify you. We glorify you. We lift you up tonight, Lord God. We honor you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We honor you tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we will say thank you. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Jesus.
To God, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PNN and Bibles, and to the PNN Prayer Wars, and to you, all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from St. John, the first chapter, the first through the 14th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I have read to you St. John, the first chapter, the first 14 verses. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of our doers of his holy word.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, sister, for that word. That was absolutely incredible. Thank you, sister, for that prayer. Thank you for just another opportunity to come before you all again tonight. That just blessed me. That reading just blessed me. It just shows you how awesome God is. I mean, there was so much in even that, what you just read about Jesus being the light of the world. He was in this world and he made and created this world. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for just another opportunity to come this night to minister to these, your sheep, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any evil, satanic, or demonic force. Dear Lord, I pray, excuse me, that you and you alone will speak to my vocal cords. I pray that you and you alone will think through my mind. Father, let it be none of me and all of you. We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. For you are a wonderful, good, loving, caring, awesome, mighty God. And your truth of your word is everlasting. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to die for our sins, to make us the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Father, for every person that's on this line tonight that is listening, both near and far. May your word bless them and keep them. May your word set them free, Lord God, as they hear it and they believe it and begin to do it, Lord God, in their life. Holy Spirit, have your way in me and through me. Have your way in the hearers of this word tonight. Move on their hearts, set them free, and deliver them. Show them the reality of your word, Lord. Let them know that you are real. This is not just something we just come together and talk about. You are a real God with real love. You love us unconditionally. You created us in your image and in your sight. We give you praise for that, Father, and glory and honor. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God, people of God. Tonight, you know, tonight I just want to just talk to you, you know. The features of that product, all of the advantages you can take advantage of, all of the ins and outs. And half the time, most of us never read the user manual. We go out and buy something and we just don't look at the user manual. We, over time, begin to learn little things about that car we just bought or that product. But God says, look, I'm giving you the user manual for life. And it's these scriptures in this Bible. It's my word. Get in it and begin to understand how to live right, how to live the right way. Get in it and begin to understand who I am, who this God is. God's not over there, out there somewhere. His spirit is on the inside of you. He's right here with you all the time. And his son Jesus died on the cross so that we may be drawn back to him. Back to him. What is faith? Let's talk about faith. You know, anytime you want to define a word, the first thing we would normally do is look in the dictionary. So I just looked in the regular Merriam-Webster's dictionary and looked up faith. Let me give you all some of the definitions of faith according to the dictionary. Faith is an allegiance to a duty or a person. Some people would translate that as loyalty. Faith is also fidelity to a person's promises. Another definition said sincerity of intentions. Here's a great definition. Faith is a belief and trust in and loyalty to God. A belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Another definition, a belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. But here's one I really like. This is one that really, I love that first one, a belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Love that one. But here's another one I really liked. A firm belief in something where there is no proof. I thought that was an interesting definition, a firm belief in something that there is no proof. Now, one thing I want to share with you all, the word faith is mentioned in the Bible over 300 times. And sometimes you will have faith by itself, and sometimes you will have faithfulness or faithful. And I kept looking at that word faithful, and I took it apart. I said faithful, faith. Full of faith. A faithful person is full of faith, full of a conviction, a trust, a loyalty to God. That's what a faithful person is. A faithful person is loyal. A faithful person has complete trust in God. Where there's no proof. Look at that. See, what I've come to know is that this whole life is a life of faith. And what do I mean by that? A lot of times we get into things and we have no proof. We have no understanding of a situation or a circumstance of how it's going to work out. What's going to happen? Right now, some of you all are in situations, you don't have a, maybe you're scared. Maybe you're upset. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're just anxious. Because you don't know what's going to happen. But I'm here to tell you, God already knows what's going to happen. God is never surprised. He created everything. It may be a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to God. That goes back to the sovereignty of God. And we're going to talk about that word on another time. But the sovereignty of God simply says that God knows everything. There's nothing that he can't know. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing, all-wise. If God wasn't all-powerful, he couldn't call himself God, because that would mean somebody had more power than he did. If God wasn't all-knowing, he couldn't call himself God, because that means somebody somewhere would know something that he didn't know. If God wasn't all-wise, he couldn't call himself God, because someone would have wisdom that he didn't have. So in order for him to be God, he has to be the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise. He has to know the past, the present, and the future. So for us, we're living in the present. We're living in the now. We can't change what's happened in the past. I'm going to say that again. We cannot change what has happened in the past. But we can impact what is going to happen in the future by the actions we do right now. Right now. Now let's go to the scriptures. Faith. So I've explained to you what faith is, but let's just go to what the scriptures say about faith. Go to the scriptures of what the scriptures say about faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it is the evidence of things not seen. So let's break that down. Faith is substance. It's substance of what? Hope. What is hope? Hope is something that we anticipate, something that we think is going to happen, things we hope for. But watch this. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let's break that down. Faith is substance and faith is evidence. It's substance of hope, but watch this. It's evidence of the invisible. Why did I say that? Because it says faith is evidence of things not seen. If you can't see something, that means it's invisible. Let's go to the book of Hebrews for a second. I want you all to turn to the book of Hebrews. I think Hebrews has a lot to say about faith and a lot about Jesus and a lot about the things that we should begin to understand when it comes to faith and faithfulness. And at the same time, we're going to talk about what Jesus is doing right now in his faithfulness. So go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to begin there, and we're going to start looking at some things about faithfulness and about what Jesus' role is right now. God has a lot to talk about in faith. All right, let's start with Hebrews chapter 1, and let's just go through it, and we're going to begin to explain some things here. Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spake unto the fathers by prophets. His prophets on the earth were speaking to him. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So in the Old Testament, God was speaking by prophets. In the New Testament, he spoke to us, and we know his Son is Jesus, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He made the worlds. That lines up with what the sister started this night off with in 1 John. She said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by him. And she said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son. That's Jesus. So see, Jesus was there in the beginning, even during creation. Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. See? And Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. And how do we know that? Because it says we beheld his only begotten Son. The only begotten Son of God is Jesus. Verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, that lines up with what the sister talked about earlier, about the light was the life of man, who being the brightness image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. All things is being upheld by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins. How did he purge our sins? He died on the cross. He gave up his life for us. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. See, we are the righteousness of God. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us. He took our coat of sin so that we could put on his coat of righteousness. Now let's see what Jesus is doing right now. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So right now, Jesus in heaven is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what is Jesus doing? He's doing what we call his priestly duties. He is interceding for us, being made so much better than the angels, talking about Jesus, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. How did he obtain a more excellent name than they? Through his obedience to the Father. He died for us. See, he died for us. So he got a more excellent name than the angels. For unto which of the angels, he's talking about God, for unto which of the angels did God say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? God didn't say that to no angels. He said that to Jesus. And again, I will be to him a father, talking about Jesus, and he shall be to me a son. God didn't say any of that to any angels. He said that to Jesus. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten in the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. All the angels of God are going to worship Jesus. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. This is what he says. The angels are ministering spirits. But unto the Son, this is what he said. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's that word righteousness again. See how important being in right standing with God is? Righteousness means you're in right standing with God. And what exactly does that mean? Does that mean you're not doing anything wrong? No, it doesn't. Does that mean you're living a perfect, holy life? No, it doesn't. You're trying to the best of your ability to. That righteousness has nothing to do with what you're trying to do. That righteousness has all to do with the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That Jesus became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we come the righteousness of God in him. See, we're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because of what we've done or even what we're trying to do. We're in right standing with God only because of the blood of Jesus. Only because of the blood of Jesus. Not by works, lest any man should boast. We can't do enough right to please God. That's why he had to send his only begotten son to die for us. So always remember that. It's not us who got us there. It's Jesus who brought us back to the Father. See, we were separated from the Father. That word death means to separate from, but it never means non-existence. You will always exist somewhere, be it heaven or hell. You may not exist in this body that we're in, but we know that man is a spirit. He lives in a body, and he possesses a soul. We're a three-part being. Doesn't it make sense that we're made in the image of God, and God is also a three-part being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. We contact this world through our senses. And I think I've taught on that, but I want you all to really grasp this. We contact this world through our senses. Our five senses, taste, those are the senses. And I think the last time I taught, I was saying there's some things we shouldn't be tasting, some things we shouldn't be touching, some things we shouldn't be smelling, some things we shouldn't be seeing, and some things we shouldn't be hearing. Those are the gates that get on the inside of us to our spirit man. And that's what impacts us. That's why God wants us to guard those gates. Be very careful what you're seeing and very careful what you're listening to. Very careful what you're touching, tasting, and smelling. Things in this outside world that the enemy can use to entice us. You know, a woman has on perfume or a man has on cologne and you smell it and you start feeling some kind of way just from the smell. See, that's a perfect example. Or you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at and now you're really starting to feel some kind of way. Are you touching something or you're tasting something? You know, you're tasting that cheesecake when you're not supposed to be eating cheesecake because you're diabetic. But you love that cheesecake. Ooh, I didn't taste it. I got to get just a little bit more. Those are the gates. Let's keep going. And of the angels, he said, verse 7, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Jesus loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. Therefore, look at that. Because you loved righteousness and you hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. See, we hear today a lot about the anointing. We hear a lot of churches talk about the anointing. When I first heard about the anointing, I never had heard that word before in my life. It was a totally new word. Out of all the years I've been on the earth, I've never heard that word. So the first thing I do is I said, well, let me find out what this means. I looked it up in the dictionary and also found the Vines dictionary. If you guys don't have a dictionary, you want to understand the scriptures a little bit better, get you a Vines, V-I-N-E-S, dictionary. Look up the meaning of words. Some words don't mean what you think they mean. But I can tell you this much, they'll bring some clarity to the scriptures because they go back to certain cases to the Greek and the Hebrew languages of which the scriptures were originally written in. And there are some words in English that don't quite translate correctly into the true meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew. But sometimes you got to go back and just see what were they trying to say. I'll give you a perfect example, and then I'll keep it moving. There's a scripture in the Bible in Genesis where it says, Adam knew Eve. And I read that years ago, and I remember praying. I was like, God, you know, that's kind of stuff. Of course Adam knew Eve. They were the only two people on the earth. They're only two human beings. Why would you just say Adam knew Eve? But you're not reading that right. So I looked up the word knew, K-N-E-W. You know that word knew means to have a relationship with? That's literally what it means in the Greek and the Hebrew. I believe it was the Greek in this case. I could be wrong. But it literally means to have a relationship with.
So when he was saying Adam knew Eve, he was saying Adam had a relationship with Eve. Scripture in the Bible that God said in the end, the scriptures say in the end, that Jesus is going to say to a lot of people, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You never knew me. And I said, wait a minute, you never knew me? Of course we knew you, Lord. We went to church every day. We prayed. We did all these things. Of course we knew you. What do you mean we didn't know you? You never had a relationship with me. You never told me about your problem or your concerns. You never came to me when you had a problem at your job. You never came to me when you were having a problem with your kids or with your wife. You never came to me when you were having a problem with your family member. You didn't talk to me. You didn't have a relationship with me. Your relationship means when you pray to God, not only do you talk to God, but you listen to God. See, when you have a relationship with someone, you don't just go and talk, and then just get up and leave. That's what prayer is. Prayer is having a two-way conversation with God. You know, we always go in and we talk about prayer, but we need to go in and say, Lord, you know, we ask that you just bless such and such and keep such and such. Or how about going in and saying, Lord, a lot of times I go in before God, and say, God, you know, I'm having a tough day. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling kind of funny. I'm not feeling like really doing this today, and I know that's wrong, but just, I don't know. Holy Spirit will say, hey, you know what? You don't live by your feelings. You live by my word. But Lord, I know you said that just shall live by faith. Exactly. There's never going to be any evidence. It's never going to look right. You don't go by your feelings. You go by what my word says. And my word tells you to pray for those in authority over you so that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. And you need to be praying for your boss. If your boss is acting like he or she don't know, have lost their mind and don't know what they're doing, and they may have an attitude against you for whatever reason. Maybe they had a bad day at home, or maybe they just had a bad day, or maybe they got in an argument with their spouse or whatever, but they seem to be coming to work taking it out on you, and now you trying to get in the flesh and start saying, hey, wait a minute, you need to hold up now. God said, no, you don't live by your feelings, live by my word. My word says to pray for those in authority over you. Why? So that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. The reason you don't have no peace is because you're not praying for them. You're trying to fight a battle that I've already given you a victory over. See, the victory is in doing the scriptures. You want to know what the victory is in this life? Do the scriptures. Do the book. Even when it don't make sense. Even when there's no evidence of it. Remember, faith doesn't always necessarily have faith evidence. Faith is substance of hope, but is evidence of the invisible. See, there's a lot of things that are invisible going on all around us that we can't see. Things going on in the spirit. There are things going on in the spirit. I got to teach on that. I got to teach on that. Because, you know, in the Bible, there's a story where there were two men of God, and they were surrounded. And one of them had such faith, he wasn't even concerned. They were surrounded by an enemy that wanted to kill him. And the other one was terrified, literally terrified, didn't know what to do, going out of his mind. And he couldn't understand why the other guy was really just calm, didn't have a care in the world. Imagine being surrounded by literally hundreds of people who want to kill you, and it's just you and it's just two people. One of y'all is very calm and don't have a care in the world, and the other of you all is freaking out of his mind. He don't know what to do. He has so much fear in his heart that, you know, he might even kill himself before they even attack him because he's so scared. You know, in the scriptures it says in the last days that man's hearts are going to fail them for what they see is coming. Now, that's a terrifying thought. That means people are going to be dropping dead for what they see is coming. The thing ain't going to even get to them yet. They're just going to be so terrified of it coming, they're going to drop dead. That's what the scriptures say. I'm not making this up. So anyway, in this story, going back, the prophet, and I want to say it was Elijah and Elijah, the prophet prayed and said, God, open his eyes so that he may see. See, one guy was seeing in the spirit, And what he could see was there was an angel standing beside all those soldiers out there, just ready to strike them down at any given moment. As soon as God gave the command, those angels were going to kill every soldier out there that was trying to come against those two. So they really weren't surrounded. They already had the victory, but only one could see it. The other one couldn't see it. It's in the Bible. It's in the scriptures. The one guy had the evidence. Even though that one couldn't see, the other could see. God had opened his eyes to see it in the spiritual realm. So he prayed the prayer to God. He said, God, open his eyes so that he may see. And God opened his spiritual eyes, and he saw all these angels all around, ready to strike these soldiers down who were getting ready to try to attack them. True story. And most people say, well, you know, that's a fable. That's not real. Seriously. Really? You don't believe that's real, right? Okay. All right. Let me give you all some practical example because I love it. That's why I love the scriptures because I said the same thing. Well, I see what you're saying, God, but you know what? I don't see in the spirit realm. I don't know if I really want to see in the spirit realm. I'd probably be terrified if I saw something I'd never seen before appear before me. All right? But watch this. You don't believe that, right? Most of you all probably don't believe it. And say, what is this guy talking about? Is he sticking with the scriptures? Yes, I am. Talking about the scriptures. So let me ask you all a question. When was the last time you all saw the wind? The wind. Yes. If somebody on this phone can tell me they've seen the wind, I'd be amazed. That means you've seen in the spiritual realm. Because you don't see the wind. You see the results of the wind. If you see that tree out there moving, something's moving it. Oh, it's the wind moving it. Okay. Can you see that wind that's moving it? No, you can't see it. You can feel it. So you're telling me you can feel something that's invisible.
Oh, yeah.
So just because it's invisible does not mean that it's not real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever seen the wind. Matter of fact, the scriptures say you don't know if the wind is coming or going. You don't even know what direction it's coming in. Oh, yeah, you might put up a flag and see that flag waving to the right, and you sense, oh, yeah, it's coming from east to west. Did it really come from east to west? No. You don't know which direction it's coming in because you can't see when it's coming, and you can't even see when it's going. But yet, it's invisible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the invisible, the evidence of things not seen. The God is just as real as you and I are sitting here talking over this phone. Angels, demons, all of them are just as real as we are. They're just in a different realm than we are. Doesn't mean they're not real, though. They're in a spiritual realm. So, well, wait a minute. What is the spiritual realm? A lot of people don't understand spirit. Man is a spirit. He lives in the body. He possesses the soul. When Jesus came back, he was raised from the dead. This is why it's so important to get in the scriptures. You know, Jesus was able to walk through walls. He was able to literally walk through walls. This is in the scriptures. It'll blow your mind if you guys ever get in this book. I'm telling you right now. Some of the stuff in here will blow your mind. You just will be like, okay, that's literally impossible. Is it really? It's in a spiritual body. In a spiritual body. So, and we're going to have spiritual bodies after we leave this earth. Like, remember what I said. Death means to separate from, but it never means non-existence. You're going to always exist somewhere, form or matter. Most people don't believe that. Hey, the scriptures say it. I'm just speaking what the book is saying. You know, that's all I'm speaking, what the book is saying. That is why it's so important to get into this word. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's keep going. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. So let's look at this scripture. He laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up. Oh, wait a minute. God going to fold up these heavens. And notice it says, and the heavens, plural, are the works of thine hands. Whole other conversation, heavens. Heavens with an S implies more than one heaven. Whole other conversation. See, there's the sky. When you go outside and look up, there's the sky. That's the first heaven. And then there's outer space. After you move beyond this earth and, you know, if you see the rocket shoot off the earth and it starts getting dark up there and you start seeing the stars, you move beyond the clouds and the atmosphere, the stratosphere, and now you're up in outer space. That's the second heaven. Then there's the heaven of heavens, the heaven of heavens. That's the third heaven. That's where God resides. It's above outer space. We can't get there with no spaceship, no space shuttle, no type of man-made vehicle can reach that. You know, that's what the people in Genesis started off doing. They figured they was going to build a tower, the Tower of Babel. They was going to build a tower from the earth, and they was just going to march right into God's front door. God's like, you know what? We can't allow that to happen. Let us go down and split up all their languages. So this is where we get languages. Everybody was of one language. The whole earth had one language. It's so interesting how we're going right back. You know, it's cyclical. Everybody's talking about one world government now. That's where it's headed. One currency, one government, one religion. The oneness. They tried that same thing in during the first in the earlier books of the Bible with the Tower of Babel. They spoke one language. All of them got together and said, hey, you know what? Let's go out and get all this building material. Let's just build us a tower, and we'll just build it all the way up to heaven. And God said, you know what? If we don't go down and split these guys' languages up, nothing shall be impossible to them. I thought that was interesting. Nothing shall be impossible. When you come together as one, nothing shall be impossible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he said, let us go down there. Us, plural, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Still God, one God, three functions. We talked about that. You are a father to your children, you are a husband to your wife, and you are a son to your mom and dad. But you're still the same person. So, yes, you can have three in one. We had that discussion. I won't go any further. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt remain. Oh, wait a minute. They're going to perish, but thou shalt remain. And thou, they shall wax all old as doth the garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up. It said the sky is going to roll back. That's in Revelations. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Look at that. They're going to be changed, but God ain't going to change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God he doesn't change. Because we wouldn't know. Okay, God, are you feeling good today or are you feeling bad? I got to know which way I need to approach you today. God said, I'm feeling the same way how I've always felt. God doesn't change. Thank God there's one thing we can trust in, and that is the consistency of God. Because man is ever changing. And when I say man, I mean the species of man, male and female, human. Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? He didn't tell no angels to sit on his right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Who did he say to that? Jesus. Sit on my right hand. That's where Jesus is at right now, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us. But watch this. He's going to be sitting there until God makes his enemies his footstool. It just said it there. But to which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand until? Sit on my right hand until? Until what? I make thine enemies thy footstool. There's an implication here that you're going to stay here seated until I make your enemies your footstool. It's almost like implying that once your enemies become your footstool, then you'll be able to get up. See how you got to read the scriptures? You got to look at it real close. Until, he put one word in there, until. And that changed everything. That means once your enemies, something's going to change. Something's going to happen when your enemies become the footstool. Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, he's talking about the angels there. The angels are ministering spirits. What's the purpose of the angels? They're sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Who are the heirs of salvation? That's us. The ones who have accepted Jesus. We are heirs of salvation. Chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to, now this is where we're going to get into, give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Oh, boy. God knows when I read that, you're talking about some conviction. We should give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. See, a lot of us have heard a lot of great preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And some things we've grabbed hold to and hung on to it. But a lot of things we haven't grabbed hold to. We haven't applied it to our life. We haven't tried to do it. We just heard it, and we got inspired, and we felt good until the next week came along and a new message came. But what did we do with what we had heard? I'm just as guilty. What did we do? I've heard a lot of great preachers and teachers over the years of my life. And some things I heard and I took heed to, but a lot of them I didn't. I heard it and it inspired me. But, you know, since I didn't do anything with it, you know what I'm saying, it didn't have an impact on my life. That lines up with that scripture that says, when the word is sown, the enemy comes quickly. The enemy's coming to take that word away. You'll get distracted or, you know, and then it also determines the ground of your heart. Is the ground of your heart a good ground? Is it rocky ground? Is it stony ground? Because if it's rocky ground, that means it's not going to take root anyway. That means you're trying to play both sides of the coin. You're on the fence. You want to be with God on Sunday, but with yourself and the rest of the world on Monday through Saturday. But come Sunday, you're back with God. You're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. The Word of God says, let him not expect to receive anything from God. I've been there. I'm not judging anybody on the phone. I've been there. Been there. It's like, okay, you're double. Okay, Lord. God is an everyday God. He's not just a Sunday God or a Saturday God. He's an everyday God because he created every day. He created everything. Let me just put it like that. Everything was created by him and for his glory, including us. So it says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let it slip. The words spoken by angels, now this is the words, but if the word, now look, if, God's going to give us a condition. If the words spoken by angels were steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, that may not sound like, what is he talking about? What he's saying is this. If the words spoken by angels were steadfast and every transgression and disobedience, every time we messed up, we receive a just recompense of reward. In other words, every time we messed up, we got what we deserved. You know, if we messed up and did this and they needed to do something to us, we got what we deserved. This is the way, if that was the case, and God says, in the Old Testament, those people messed up. Some of them died. Ananias and Sapphira lied to a guy, and he said, you know what? As soon as one of them lied to the guy, he asked him, did you sell this lamb for so much? And the guy said, yep, we sold the lamb so much. And the prophet says, how be it that you decided that you're going to lie to the Holy Spirit? Listen, you hear those footsteps? Those are the people coming here to pick up your body. And he dropped dead, right then and there. Dropped dead. Lied to the Holy Spirit, dropped dead. He got his reward for lying to the Holy Spirit. And then the wife turned around, same thing. She dropped dead, told her the exact same thing. And this was a few hours later. I guess she didn't know her husband was already dead. So they asked her, gave her the opportunity to tell the truth. She didn't. She lied. Now remember, this is our Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet. In the Old Testament, those people got what they deserved. I'm not trying to judge them or anything. It was just that Jesus had not come to die on the cross for their sins yet. Thank God we living in the day we living in. A whole bunch of us wouldn't be around. I know I wouldn't be. I've been dead a long time ago. And you know what? It would have been justified. It would have been justified. I couldn't even blame God. It was like, yep, you did this, boom, you're dead. You realize the stuff we do today, if it weren't for Jesus, a whole lot of us would be dead. I'm telling you right now, we would not be alive. Matter of fact, I would even be say the whole world probably wouldn't even be here. That's why God had to, in his infinite wisdom, say, you know what? They can't kill enough animals to cover their sins. They keep killing animals, they're going to kill all the animals. Sacrificing the animals on this altar, all they did was cover the sin. It just delayed their judgment. That's all it did. And at some point when the animals run out and they can't sacrifice no more, judgment is going to come. So God's like, you know what? I got to fix this. I got to have the ultimate sacrifice. Because he couldn't find no other animal to sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice was him sacrificing himself through Jesus. That's what paid the price for us. What an awesome, loving, caring God to do that. Some of us weren't even born when that happened. A whole lot of us weren't even born when that happened. But that's exactly what God's saying. They're saying if we receive the recompense of reward, if the word is spoken by angels, and for every disobedience and transgression, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that means it was steady, and every transgression and disobedience, every transgression and disobedience, that's what we're doing now. We're disobeying God. We're transgressing against God. Every transgression of disobedience receive a just recompense, a justified payment of reward. Then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So how are we going to escape this judgment? We can't escape it without Jesus. That's why it's so important to give your life to Christ. So trust me, if you don't accept him and the only way to the Father is through the Son, then by default you've rejected him. And you're going to get a just recompense of reward. You are going to get what you deserve. No doubt about it. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. God has given us one way out, and that's through the blood of Jesus. That's it. There is no other way. Don't be deceived. No other way. Don't think your good works, well, I think I'm a good person, I should be able to get into heaven. Okay, keep thinking that. If you didn't accept that Jesus, trust me, you will not be getting into heaven. And I can boldly say that because the word said it. I'm not speaking anything that I'm, my own advice. We can go straight to the scriptures and find that. God also bearing them witness. Look at that. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God calls our salvation a great salvation. A great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. That's right. Jesus starts speaking this. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John, who also, when our prophetess earlier talked about 1 John, remember she said in that scripture? John came first. He bare witness of the light, but he was not that light. Jesus was that light. And that light is the, watch this, the life of men. The life of man. And that light shines in darkness, which means in a dark world, we got that light that's going to, watch this, light shines, light exposes, light reveals. What does it shine, expose, and reveal? Hidden things. See, God has hid a lot of wisdom in his scriptures for us. He hid it for us, not from us. There's a difference. Light shines and exposes and reveals. That's what light does. God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders. So Jesus starts speaking about salvation, this great salvation, and it was confirmed unto us, since we didn't live during the time of Jesus, by them that heard him. So the ones who heard Jesus began to talk about the things that they had heard him say and write about the things that they have seen him do. And we have the Holy Scriptures. That's what this Bible is all about. And when Jesus was doing that, God was bearing witness, bearing them witness with both signs and wonders. God was confirming, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. How was he confirming it? With signs and wonders. Jesus was doing, which means God was saying, look, I am with him. There's no way he can do this. No man on this earth can do this. I'm going to turn that water to wine. No man on the earth can do this. God says, I'm going to confirm my son through signs of wonders. If you don't think this is my son, how's he doing all this stuff? How's he walking on water? That defies your natural laws of gravity. A man's not supposed to be able to walk on water. How's he able to do it? See? There's the natural, and then there's the supernatural. That word super means above. Supernatural is above the natural. That's what supernatural is. Everybody thinks supernatural is just this bad word. No. All it's saying is it's above the natural. You say Superman, Superman is supposedly above man, right? In the fables or in the cartoons or in the comic books, Superman is above man. He's supposed to be able to do everything a regular man can't do. But God has a supernatural. God can do supernatural things because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Remember, we're made in the image of God. He made us. We didn't make him. We always want to put God in the same level as we are. No, he's not. He's above us. He created us. We didn't create him. And we got to really grasp that concept. Really grasp it. God isn't human. He's above human. He's supernatural. He's above the natural. That's why the laws of nature can be, he doesn't have to follow the laws of nature because he's above that. What's that scripture that says, you are from beneath and I am from above? You are of this world, I am not of this world. He's telling us that he's above the natural, even in that one scripture. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. I love how the Holy Spirit proves the case. When he's beginning to use you as a vessel and speak through you, sometimes he'll say things to you the first time you're hearing it and you're saying, oh, that's pretty good, but Lord, you got to give me, this is the way I think. Lord, you got to give me a confirmation of that. Give me a scripture of that. Show me where. It's just come out. And he'll just give you the scripture. Yeah, that's what he said. You are from beneath and I am from above. You are of this world, but I am not of this world. So you cannot tell me he's human if he's not of this world. That tells you right now he is not human. Let's not get it twisted. He's not human. Y'all want to think that there's aliens in the world. Of course there is. Angels would be considered aliens. Demons would be considered aliens. God himself is not human, so he's different from us. So you got to understand that. Look at these scriptures for what they're telling you. This is the God we serve. He created us. He loves us unconditionally. And we're going to see that one day. God also bearing him witness with both signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This is what God willed to do. He wanted to do that. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? See that? So just imagine God, just imagine this. God is like in the position of a, okay, let's thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you all to really get a picture of this. Think about a courtroom, right? Imagine you're in a courtroom. You got all the people sitting in the audience, and then you've got this judge up there on his stand. Then on one side, praise God, thank you, Holy Spirit. On one side, you got the prosecutor, and on the other side, you got the defense attorney. Now, the prosecutor is the accuser. He's the one accusing. You are the one who's being, you're the one who's on trial, right? So you got the judge, you got the prosecutor, and you got the defense attorney. The prosecutor is accusing you of something. Attorney is trying to defend you. The prosecutor is trying to make you guilty. The defense attorney is trying to keep you innocent. But here's what's interesting. Right? They're both presenting their case before the judge. Okay? So now, you got that picture of that courtroom, right? Hopefully you all see that courtroom. You got a picture of the courtroom. I got my eyes closed so I can actually see it. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. God is that judge. God the Father is that judge, right? He's right up there on the stand. The prosecutor is Satan. Satan is accusing you before God, and he's accusing God before you. He's stirring stuff up. He's saying in your little ear, why are you believing that Bible stuff? That stuff ain't real. Why are you believing in God? God ain't real. He don't love you. If he loved you, why he let this happen to you? Something seems like no type of love to me. If he loved you, why are you out here struggling? You can't even pay your car note, your house note. You're behind all the time. You don't make enough on your job. People don't even like you on your job. What kind of God would allow you to go through all that? You know? Why are you even putting up with it? Don't let no people talk to you that way. Go on out there and steal, kill, and destroy. Now you got Jesus over here, the defense attorney. He's talking to the judge. Look, I paid the price for it. I paid the price. He's innocent because of my blood. He's innocent because I've already took on whatever punishment he deserves. He's innocent not because of what he's done, but because of what I've done for him. So don't look at him directly. Look at him through me. Look at what I did on the cross for him. And if you do that, he's always going to be found innocent because I've already paid the price. That's the picture of our whole life. That's the picture. See? But we have got to accept Jesus in order for Jesus to say, look at him through me. That's what that scripture says. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. Because it's only in him. When we accept him, we are in him. When we accept him as our Lord and Savior. But if we don't accept him, hey, we out there. Satan is having a field day with us. He's having a field day with us. And we don't even know it. That's what's so funny. And for some of us, we'll be out there having a good time. We're making the money. We got everything going well. And we're on a one-way ticket straight to hell and don't even know it. Because if we don't accept Jesus, no matter how good you live on this earth, no matter how much money you got, no matter how much stuff you got, ain't none of it going with you when you die. None of it. It's all going to be left right here. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world yet lose his soul? That's what that scripture means. There ain't no profit in it. So live it up. Have a good time if you want. You don't want to accept Jesus? Hey, that's on you. God will protect your right to go to hell if that's what you choose to do. Because guess what? The choice is yours. He has provided the way already. That's what he's saying. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world yet lose his soul? Lose his soul. And no coming back from that. No coming back from that. And that's even in the scriptures. There's a story in the scriptures about a rich man who died named Lazarus. He died. He was very wealthy. Very wealthy while he was on the earth, but he died. Died without God. And he was in hell immediately. And he was crying out to the Father Abraham and saying, Father Abraham, send one of my relatives here to dip my tongue in some water, for this place is torment down here. And Abraham's like, look, they got the prophets on the earth. They can believe what the prophets say, or they can choose not to believe it. He was saying, warn my family members. Don't let them come down here. It was too late for him, but he was caring about his family members. I don't want them to come down here. This place is torment. You got to get in the scriptures. I'm not making other stuff up. When I tell you, as I read and continue to read, a conviction will come over you. But I take great joy because I've accepted Jesus. I'm like, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for wooing me to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't even my decision. It wasn't my decision. I didn't just decide one day to get saved. We think we do. Oh, yeah, I decided to get saved. No, the Holy Spirit has been working on us all our life. He working on some of y'all right now as you're listening to me talk. You're like, wow, man, this stuff is real. Yeah, it's real. It's very real. But you know what? I'd rather you, a friend of mine said this to me many years ago. He said, Craig, would you rather live not knowing that there is a heaven and there is a God and that Jesus died on the cross for you, or would you rather die and find out that there really is a hell and there's no coming back from it? That was a serious question. I was like, well, hey, you know what? Even if I don't believe this stuff, I'm going to accept Jesus. Even if I don't know if it's really true, even if I can't get it. Look, I ain't taking no chance on leaving this earth and going somewhere when I've been told that, you know what? If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just try to do the best you can living your life. Get into his word. Pray. Read the scriptures. You're not going to live a perfect life because we're in a fallen world. Temptations will still be around you. You still may fall and miss it. But when you accept his son, that means whatever mistakes you have made, God, if you accept his son, whatever mistakes you have made, God will forgive you because you have accepted his son, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sin. You are the righteousness of God in him. He became sin for us. He took on all our pain and suffering that we rightfully deserve. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. So he's saying, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How are you going to escape hell if you're neglecting the salvation that Jesus has provided for you? That's what he's saying in a nutshell. You're not going to be able to escape it. You're not going to be able to escape it. Let's keep going. Praise God. But one in a certain place, verse 6, testified, saying, what is a man that thou art mindful of him? God, why are you so mindful of a man or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, but thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Talking about man. Talking about us. Man, the species. See? We're made a little lower than angels, but we're crowned with the glory and honor, and God set him over the works of our hands. What are the works of our hands? Remember when God created Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every creeping and crawling thing? God gave us dominion over that. Those are the works of his hands. He set us over that. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, meaning under Jesus' feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, which means that we don't see it yet, but it's coming. See, that's where our faith comes into play. It's the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. But we see Jesus, there it is. Do I need to say much? I was just telling you this is about Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And remember I just said, man, yes. Remember Jesus walked the earth as a man. That's what I'm telling you, as a species of a man, right? He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death of every man, for every man. Look at that. He had to become a man to taste the death for every man. That's the wisdom of God right there. He had to become a man to taste the death of every man, for every man. But it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. See? Perfection. That word perfect, for a lot of y'all don't know, perfect literally means mature. That's literally what it means. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Now, what does that mean? For both he that sanctifies, Jesus is the one that sanctifies. That word sanctification means separation, set apart, to set apart or to separate from. That's what sanctification comes from. I grew up in the country, and they used to have what they call sanctified churches, and they would always dance and holler, and, you know, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, they would just move around. The Spirit was moving in the church. And I didn't understand that as a kid, but as I got older, I began to understand it. You know, Spirit of God comes up in a place, and sometimes it'll get you to moving. You will feel the Spirit. Once again, just like I told you earlier, the wind is invisible. Well, you can't see in the spiritual realm. That don't mean the Holy Spirit's not there, but you can feel His presence, just like you can feel that wind. See how God ties that together? So in a way, I would hear them singing and be like, wow, you know, as a kid, you're like, man, I don't know if they're over there having a good time or something's going on, but it's kind of a little frightening because you don't know what's happening. You don't know if they're over there partying, but no, surely they're not partying in the church. You know, so something is happening, but it was the Spirit of God just coming over on them for a lot of them, and they were moved by that. So sanctification means to separate apart. So for both he that separateth setteth apart and they who are set apart are all one. So Jesus is the one who set us apart, but we are the ones who've been set apart. We're all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I and the children which God hath given me. See, all of us who are saved, God gave us to Jesus. God already knew who was going to be saved. God also knows the ones who are not going to be saved. Now, if God's perfect will would want everybody to be saved, but he gave us that choice. He gave us that choice. God, why did you even give us a choice? You know? That was a question I asked. Why don't you even give us a choice? I mean, you God, you could make everybody saved. You could make everybody saved. I know y'all eager for the answer. I hadn't heard the answer yet. Because I'm just as eager. You could do this. You could save everybody. Why we got to go through all these emotions and all this, Lord? You know? I ask that often. You know, and God will give me an answer. He'll give me an answer through Scripture. I think it has a lot to do with that, where faith comes in. Once again, we're going back to that thing, faith. That substance of hope, that evidence of what I cannot see. See, when you understand that this whole life is a life of faith, when you get in a situation or a circumstance and you realize that God is sovereign, like, wait a minute, Lord, you already knew this was going to happen. 2019, right before COVID, I was in a car accident. Car jackknifed me from the side. Hit me on the driver's side, caved in the door, airbag deployed. Cracked my ribs on the inside. I couldn't breathe. Literally couldn't breathe. Couldn't catch my breath. I jump out of the car on the driver's side. Luckily, I had my seatbelts on, airbag deployed. Couldn't get out the door because the door was smushed in, so I'm crawling over the seat to get on the other side because I'm in the middle of the street. And I don't know if another car is going to come and hit me, so I got to get out of the car and try to get to the sidewalk. I crawl over, get to the sidewalk, and collapse. I didn't fall out. I just fell down and just was like, all I could say was, I can't breathe. I can't catch my breath. Can't catch my breath. A lady, I don't know to this day who it was. I think it was an angel of God. You know, God says, be careful. Sometimes you entertain angels unaware. She asked my name. She asked, was there somebody I need to call? If you call my wife. I can't breathe. She said, the ambulance is coming. Just, you know, just hold on. Gave her my wife's number. I still don't know who she is to this day. And so she calls my wife and tells my wife comes, of course, and I'm in the hospital. Now, while I'm driving to the hospital, all I know is, you know, I'm sitting up thinking, I wasn't so much worried about dying. I thought I was going to die. No, you know, I have to tell you all a little story after that, but I was like, you know, God, I didn't think I was going to die like this. I don't want to go out and no, I don't want to be shot, stabbed, in no car accident, or, you know, I really would prefer not to go out like that. I mean, it's your will, but I really would prefer not to go. I would like to just go to sleep and wake up on the other side. You know, that's what I would like, Lord. That's my prayer. That, you know, go to sleep, and then when I wake up, of course, I ain't going to wake up on this side because I'm gone. But when I open my eyes, I'll be on the other side in the presence of God. So it's so funny because I get to the hospital, I still can't breathe. I'm not sure how maybe they didn't put this little oxygen thing on me. Oxygen was really low because the ribs are cracked. And here's the funny thing about it. When you have, I don't know if many of you all have ever broken your ribs, but the ribs have to heal on themselves. They have to heal on their own. There's nothing they can do. They can manage the pain by giving you medicine. But so for several months, this is all before COVID hit too. See, look at the wisdom of God. I had to sit up and slept in a chair for several months. This was in the latter part of 2019. Little did I know, in the early part of 2020, COVID was going to hit. So in the latter part of 2019, I think I got out of the hospital somewhere around January. It was around December of 2019. Now, mind you, if I would have been in the hospital still January, February, March, April of 2020, I would have been in the midst of when COVID hit. And a lot of people died that were in the hospital. I may have would have caught COVID and died just from complications of, you know, COVID supposedly attacked the respiratory system, so you can breathe. But anyway, God already knew I was going to have the accident. God already knew COVID was coming, too. See, God is sovereign. So I want you all to think about that. Always remember, God knows everything. So we really need to be grateful, even in the midst of this. It said, praise him in all things, not for all things. I remember riding to the hospital. I was praising God. I couldn't hardly breathe, but I was back there, I was praying in tongues. That's all I know. I was praying in tongues in the ambulance. I know the people in the ambulance must have thought I was crazy. I'm like, you know what? If I'm going out, man, I'm going to go out praying. I got to go out praying. That's all I know to do. When you don't know what to do, what do? You pray. You don't wait till a situation comes. You'll be praying before that. But when you're in a situation, ain't nobody else around to help you. It's just you and God. The only way I know to talk to God is I talk to God in tongues. I can talk to him in English, but when he that speaketh in an untoned tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, howbeit he speaketh mysteries. That's what the scriptures say. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. That's what the scriptures say. So I'm just praying in tongues. I don't know what I'm saying. God knows what I'm saying, but it's the perfect prayer for him. The people in the ambulance probably thinking I'm crazy. They don't know what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit was right there with me, helping me. He was helping me the whole time. He was right there. So why do I believe these scriptures so boldly? Because I've experienced things in my life. I've experienced things. And some of you all are experiencing things right now, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You don't know how you're going to get out of that mess. You don't know how you're going to get out of that mess that's been created. God can take a mess and make a masterpiece out of it. I'm here to tell you that right now. There's no mess that God can't clean up. He'll turn that thing around for your good, and you'll be grateful for it. I'm grateful that I had the car accident when I had the car accident. It gave me a different perspective on life. I could have died that day, you know? You start reevaluating what's important in your life. COVID should have taught most of us something. You know? What's important? That was a global thing. I mean, God got, I tell you what, he got our attention on that. I'm not saying God caused it, but he allowed it. See? There's nothing God can't stop. God knows the cure for cancer right now. God knows the cure to whatever situation or circumstance you're in right now. Are you going to trust him? Are you going to believe it? I go before him and talk to him like, God, look, I know you know what's up, right? So I believe God's got a personality, too. He talks to all of us differently if we really willing to listen. And I'm kind of funny when I talk to God. I'll be like, because I'm like, now you said right here in your scriptures that, you know, though my beginnings are small, my latter end shall surely be great. Now you said, this is in your scriptures here, you said this. God said to put him in remembrance of his word. But if you don't ever get in this book, you ain't going to ever know his word. So going back to faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now watch this. If you want to really break faith down, what is faith? Faith is the word of God. That's all it is. Faith is simply the word of God. Do you believe the word of God? Now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The word of God is the evidence of things not seen. See, you've got to believe the word of God. You want to simplify faith? Faith is the word of God. Faith is the word of God is these scriptures. Faith is the word. Get in this word and you believe this word and you trust in this word. That's going to give you the evidence. Why do you believe? Because God said it. That's my evidence. Well, that ain't nothing. Well, yeah, God said it. That's why I believe it. That's my faith. Where's my faith? It's right here. It's right here in this book. This is my faith right here. This is my faith. See, why is there such a firm? Okay, let me give you an example. Praise God. Holy Spirit got me all over it. Praise God. There's a scripture in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible, centurion soldier. And this centurion soldier goes to Jesus. And he tells Jesus, he's like, look, I got a servant at home who is sick. And I want you to heal him. And Jesus is saying, okay, all right, no problem. I'll tell you what. Let's go to your house. You know, the centurion soldier says, no, you ain't got to go to my house. All you got to do is watch this. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. That's all he told Jesus to do. And you know what Jesus responded to him? Jesus said he had great faith. Matter of fact, Jesus said he had found that faith in all of Israel. Now, here's a man. He's a centurion soldier. All right? I don't know if he believed in God or not. But I'm going to tell you what he said after that. He said, I am a man under authority, just like you are a man under authority. I say to my soldiers, do this, and they do it. I say to my soldiers, do that, and they do it. Basically, let me translate it for you. And I've been watching you, and every time you say something, it happens. So I don't know how you're doing this, but I know every time I've observed you, when you say something, it happens. So speak the word only. You ain't got to go to my house. If you speak the word only, I know my servant's going to be healed. Speak the word only. And Jesus called that great faith. Don't y'all see the connection? Faith and the word. Faith and the word. Faith in the word. Speak the word only. What was Jesus speaking? If Jesus speaking, Jesus is speaking the word of God, right? Because Jesus is God, and whatever comes out of him is words. So when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking the word of God. So he says, speak the word only. This man believed so much in the word, that was his faith. He said, you ain't even got to come to my house. You ain't got to come to my house. My substance of my hope is what you speak. My evidence of what I don't see is what you speak. So when you speak it, I'm going to see it because everything you've spoken in the past, I've seen. I don't know how you do it. Don't really care how you do it. Just understand that I know it works. How much more practical can you get than that? If somebody you know says stuff and every time they say it, you see it, you'd be like, I don't know how in the world he's doing this. But you know what? Hey, Mr. B, the last 10 times he said something, I've seen it. So you know what? I'm going to put my request in. If I can get him to just speak it, I know it's done. It's a done deal. A done deal. See, we got to learn to take this word in a practical manner. Part of the things I think God has blessed, allowed me to be blessed with is I ask God a lot of questions. I'm a very practical person. I'm a very practical person. I said, Lord, how does this thing work, man? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, people need to see this stuff work. They don't need to just be reading this book and just, you know, they need to see some actions, some things in their life. How can we, and I know it, you know, I'm reading it in the scriptures. Is it as simple as us just trusting you and believing you and believing your word and relying on you and trying to live right and do right and just do what the book say? It ain't by works. We're not doing anything to make anything happen. Because Jesus said it is finished. Jesus has done everything to make everything we need happen. It's finished. That's why he's in a seated position. All we got to do is just believe this word and trust it. That's all we got to do. That is all we have to do. But we will never know until we get in the book. I know I've jumped around a lot on you all today. I just have such a firm conviction of how powerful this word is, these scriptures, this book. This book is alive. It's not dead. It's alive. It's the only book on the earth that's alive. That's why it'll never die. God's word gonna stand the test of time. Every other book can be burnt, and even if they try to burn this book, it's still gonna be alive. That's why you gotta get it on the inside of your heart by reading it and studying it and praying it. You know, there's the sister who I go back to her, 1 John. I heard that sister pray. She prays the word. That's the way you're supposed to pray. You pray the word. You pray God's words back to him. You're going to pray in English? Pray God's words back to him. Open up the book and pray God's word back to him. You know? I talk to God. You talk to God through his word. The most important way God's going to talk to you is going to be through the scriptures. Think about it like this. Help me, Holy Spirit. If this book was his language, how are you going to speak his language if you never know it? We all know English. Some of us know Spanish. Some of us know Japanese. Some of us know Chinese. We all got our own little language, right? We got, and each of those languages have their own little dialects, their own little idiosyncrasy styles or whatever. But if you never learn the language, you can't speak the language, number one. This is the language of God. This is the mind of Christ. This word, that's why we got to pray it back to him. Okay, God. God said put him in remembrance of his word. Let's remind him, okay, God, you said that the just shall live by faith. So I'm going through something, I'm in a situation, God, wait a minute, God, you already knew this was going to happen. You already knew I was going to be in this car accident. You already knew that COVID was going to hit before it hit. You even know how COVID started. It's a mystery to us, but it's revealed to you. Why? Because you're light, and light shines, exposes, and reveals hidden things. Some of those things are good, some of those things are bad, but it's going to expose it. But God, you're sovereign. Okay, so let me get this. You know everything, all right? You're all-powerful, you're all-knowing, you're all-wise. This is the God we serve. And we're wondering how we're going to figure out a situation or a circumstance that we're in that we don't have any idea how to get out of. But we won't go to the God of all creation and ask for his help. We'll try to figure it out on our own selves. Sometimes we might get out of it. Sometimes we may make the situation worse. God, you know, God, I don't know what to do. I mean, I just don't know what to do, Lord. I mean, I own up to my part, but I messed up. But I need your grace and your mercy. Let's go before his throne of grace that we may find mercy in our time of need. Why won't we go to God and ask him for help, for answers? Could it be that we think he's an invisible God over there, out there somewhere? Could it be that we don't believe that he would actually answer? You're not going to hear a voice. Not that God can hear, but not that God can speak a voice to you. But it'll probably terrify you. So God's like, no, I've been not saying that because, you know, they hear a voice, they're going to really just freak out and get up and jump and run out of the room because they heard a voice, but they don't see nobody. When I just had my servant tell them that invisible things are real, but now I can't talk to them like that. So I got to use some people on the earth to bless them with. All of a sudden, the next day, somebody walk up to you and say, you know what, for whatever reason, God told me to give you this. They may not even say, God told you to give me this. They just give it to you. See, I've learned to receive when people give things to me because it ain't coming from them anyway. It's coming from my Father in heaven. It's coming from God. They don't know my situation or my circumstance, but God knows. So God will use whoever and whatever he has to get an answer to you. I always laugh at people who say, if I'm in a situation, I need a bag of money for whatever reason to take care of a situation. If God had a dog walk up to my door and tap on my door with his little head and had a bag full of money in it, I'm going to receive that bag from that dog, give him a little water and food, and send him on his way. And I'm not going to think nothing about it. Now, many of you might be laughing, saying, this guy's crazy. No, I'm not. I know how to receive. But see, I know God owns it all. Everything. Because he created it all. So if I'm going to go in my private time and ask him to help me, then however, whomever, whatever he decides to use to help me, I'm going to receive my help. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to question that's pride, you know? So many people in the Bible ask God to help them, and when God told them the way he was going to help them, they didn't want to do it. He told this one man, go dip yourself in that pool 7 times, and when you come up, you're going to be healed of leprosy. But the man was like, no, just come over to my house and lay hands on me and heal me. Wait a minute. You asking for healing, but you're going to tell me how to heal you? See how crazy that sounds? It actually happened. It's in the book. That's a story in the book. It's in the Bible. You ask me for help, but then you're going to turn around and tell me how I'm going to help you. Wait a minute. You better receive whatever way out of it. If I tell you to go dip yourself in that muddy water, and you're going to come out and get dirty, brother. When you come out of that water, you ain't going to have all that leprosy going to be gone. Standing around saying, you know what, no, I don't want it like that. I want you to come to my house and lay hands on me. And then I'll be healed. That's what we do, though. That's what we do. Praise God for humanity, man. I tell you, I have learned and am learning and continue to learn just how sometimes God's like, you know what, I'm not going to do it that way. I just told you my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. I told you my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So why are you trying to figure out my way? Don't try to figure out my way. You come with the request, and I will do it the way I choose to do it. And if you're in a receiving mode like you should be, you will get blessed. But if you're in that mode where you're going to tell me how I'm going to do it, then you know what? Let me know how that's working out for you. It's the way we do it. See, some of y'all, God done sent y'all the answer, but y'all didn't receive it. The estimate came across your desk 3-4 times. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a stranger. Maybe it was an answer that came across the internet or across TV. Maybe it's this message that I'm telling you right now. God's been giving you your answer. God is always answering, giving you many different ways he's answering your prayers. But are we in the receive mode? Are we listening? See, when you really know God, let me tell you something. God can do anything. However, whenever, from whomever. And it'll be the oddest thing that God uses to bless you sometimes. It will definitely be not what you expect. It won't be what you expect. You know, God, it's just so funny. Many years ago, I don't know if many of y'all, I'm still talking to them, I'm about to end this. There was a movie that came out called The Passion of the Christ. It was a worldwide thing. People started seeing, you know, talked about the crucifixion. Some of it was scripturally correct, some of it wasn't. But the overall message was about Jesus and his crucifixion, how he died on the cross, how he was beaten, and it was very graphic. I went to see the movie. I remember people leaving the movie crying in tears. Of all the people for God to use to make that movie, it was Mel Gibson, the least expected person we would have thought. But I don't know much about Mel Gibson. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But I know God used him mightily to make that movie, and a lot of people gave their life to Christ after watching. But see, God can use anybody, no matter who they are. And this is no judgment call on Mel Gibson. I don't know much about the man, and will never even – I don't judge anybody because I'm not the judge. Remember that courtroom? God's in that position of judging. We pray for people. That's what we do. We love on people. We tell people about Jesus and give them the opportunity to get saved and give their life to Christ so that we can prevent them from going to hell. That's what we do. We pray. We talk to God. We love on people. We try to live a holy life to the best of our ability. And when we mess up, we repent. We go into, well, I guess, from all unrighteousness. That's what we do. That's what we do. Because that's why we are called Christians or Christians. We're Christ-like because that's what Jesus did. So praise God. I'm going to end that message on that. If any of you all tonight have been blessed by this message, I praise God for you. If any of you all tonight have not given your life to Christ, I plead for you to give your life to Christ. I want you all, if you want to give your life to Christ right now, this very moment, I want you all to pray this prayer of salvation with me. The one thing God has always laid on my heart is never, ever give a message and don't give the invitation for somebody to give their life to Christ. That's what the message is all about. It's all about Jesus. No matter what we're teaching on, no matter what we're preaching on, at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It's all about his sacrifice for us and what he did on the cross for us. That's what it's all about. It's not about the stuff. It's about Jesus, period. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. The whole message of the Bible is about what Jesus did on the cross for us. Heavenly Father, just pray this prayer with me if you want to give your life to Christ for this message. I confess right now with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Save me, Lord. Save me. I don't want to go to hell. Save me. Sanctify me. Fill me with your spirit. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that Jesus became sin for me so that I could become the righteousness of God in him. Father, I don't understand everything about this word, but I do know that I want to live forever in your presence. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Make me new again. And I give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me and setting me free this day through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I have two words for you. Welcome, three words. Welcome to the family. Actually, it's four. Welcome to the family of God. Your life will never be the same again. Find you a Bible. Find you a Bible. And before you read that Bible, I want you to pray a simple prayer and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And then you open up that book, and wherever God, whatever page God have you land on, you begin to read it. And I say read it prayerfully and read it slowly. Read it and try to get understanding. And ask God. God, just say, God, I don't understand this. Help me to understand it. Give me wisdom. And God will begin to teach you, and he'll lead you to a brook, whether it's a church, whether it's this PNN network, phone line. He'll lead you to a place where you will get understanding of his word. Remember, God has to use people on the earth to bless you, whether it's a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist, apostle, the sevenfold gifts, an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, a teacher. The whole purpose of those that God has given to the body of Christ is to perfect the saints. Remember I told you that word perfect means mature, to mature the saints. Says, I've given you apostles, the prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry and the edification of the body. Do the work of the ministry to serve and to edify. That word edify means to build up. To build up the body of Christ. God wants us to all come into one. And as you can look around the world today, you can see the end times. We're headed in the end times right now. The signs of the times are all around us. Lawlessness, you know. The word of God says that as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. Well, in the days of Noah, they were doing everything. And that's why God had to start over. He had to flood the earth because he said that every thought of man was wicked. Every thought. They were just thinking about wicked stuff. They hadn't even done yet. God's like, nope, I got to start over. Matter of fact, God said he regretted he had even created man, which was just, when I read that, just broke my heart. He was so disappointed in us. But you know what? He still had mercy because Noah and his family were the only ones who survived. the global flood. Most people say, hey, you know, is on the one hand, people said there was no global flood. But then on the other hand, you got people talk about climate change. Yes, climate change is real. God changed the whole climate when he flooded the earth. And it's always been changing. There's nothing we can do to stop it. This is just a part of God's creation. Sin has entered into the world. And when sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve, you know, all the plants, it says all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. The plants, the animals, all of them are suffering because sin has entered into the world. So, yes, the climate is changing. It has nothing to do with emissions and gas. Maybe that has a little bit, but even if we start, everybody got an electric car, it's not going to stop what's going to happen. Get into the scriptures. The only truth there is the word of God. So, praise God. I thank you all for listening tonight. I'm grateful. Just remember, the only truth on a planet is in